Hey there, welcome back to 7-Minute Books. I'm Sam, and today we're digging into Becoming Kim Jong-un by Young H. Pak. So Sophie, what's the first thing that comes to mind when you hear the name Kim Jong-un?
Honestly, the haircut, the weird walks, the memes. But that's exactly what this book is pushing back on. It's saying that's not just inaccurate, it's dangerous. This is a guy who's actually a cold, calculating strategist.
Right, and the author is no slouch. She's a former CIA analyst and Deputy Assistant Secretary of State for Intelligence. So she's got serious credentials to strip away the cartoon.
Totally. And her central point is that Kim Jong-un isn't just some hereditary successor who got handed the keys. He was forged by a brutal education. First in Switzerland, but not to become cosmopolitan.
Wait, he went to Switzerland? That's not a joke. I thought that was just a rumor.
No, it's real, but it was carefully managed. He was there to learn the language and customs of the enemy, not to make friends. He was isolated, surrounded by handlers who kept telling him about his divine destiny and the threat from America.
So his real schooling happened back in Pyongyang, and that's where it gets dark. He had to witness purges and executions that kept his father in power.
Exactly. He learned that loyalty is bought with fear, and any rival, even a beloved uncle, is just a target.
Oh, the uncle. That's the part that got me. Zhang Songfeik was supposed to be his mentor, the regent who guided him, and Kim watched him consolidate power with growing unease.
So the moment Kim takes the throne, his first major move isn't a missile test. It's a political execution. He publicly tried and executed his own uncle for treason.
That's chilling. It was a masterclass in political theater, wasn't it? A signal to every elite in North Korea that this new leader is not a boy to be manipulated.
He's a killer who tolerates no rivals. And that purge sent a shockwave through the whole system. It established his absolute authority right from the start.
So after that, his strategy becomes clear. He's not going to be a caretaker like his father, who managed a failing state with patronage and paranoia. He's going to be a builder.
But what he's building isn't a prosperous society. It's a nuclear fortress. That's the core of Pak's argument. His goal has been to perfect a nuclear arsenal that can hit the American homeland.
And this isn't a bargaining chip. It's the source of his regime's legitimacy and survival. His grandfather had Juche, self-reliance. His father had Sun Gun, military first. Kim Jong-un has the nuclear button.
He's fused the survival of his regime with a credible nuclear deterrent. So any threat to his rule becomes a threat of nuclear war. That's a terrifying logic.
It is. And Pak walks us through how he learned from the mistakes of Iraq and Libya. He saw that giving up weapons of mass destruction led to regime collapse.
Right.
So he figured the only way to survive is to make the cost of attacking his country so high that no rational leader would ever pay it. He's turned his nation into a hostage, and the world is the hostage taker.
That's a wild way to put it, but it makes total sense. And his diplomatic playbook is just as rational. He's a master of alternating between maximum pressure and maximum engagement.
He'll provoke with tests and threats, then offer smiles and vague promises of denuclearization. It's not madness. It's poker. And he knows he's holding a royal flush.
The Trump summits are a perfect case study. Kim played to his ego, offered flattery and spectacle, and gave up nothing of substance.
He walked away from Hanoi when the U.S. demanded a full accounting, and he still won. He normalized his regime, broke the international consensus, and got de facto acceptance of his nuclear status, all without dismantling a single weapon.
Meanwhile, back home, he's perfected the machinery of terror. Public executions, forced labor camps, a surveillance state that watches everything.
And he's brought his sister, Kim Yo Jong, into the inner circle. She's become his most trusted enforcer. Together, they've built a cult of personality that even surpasses their grandfather's.
It's not just propaganda. It's psychological control that makes dissent unthinkable. But here's what I found fascinating. He's also quietly allowing a limited form of market capitalism to flourish.
Oh, the Donju, the new entrepreneurs. That's not liberalization. It's a cynical survival tactic. He creates a safety valve for popular discontent and a source of revenue for the state.
So he keeps the elite rich and the masses barely fed. No one has the energy to rebel. He understands that a completely starving nation is dangerous, but one with just enough hope is manageable.
Exactly. And then the book takes on the international community's failure. PAC is critical of everyone from Obama's strategic patience to Trump's fire and fury to Biden's calibrated approach.
Because they all assume that pressure and engagement can force him to give up his weapons. And she's saying that's a fantasy. He has no intention of ever giving them up.
Denuclearization isn't a goal for him. It's a threat. The only question is how much he can extract in exchange for a promise he'll never keep.
So the implications are pretty unsettling. PAC argues the world has already lost the battle for denuclearization. North Korea is a nuclear power, and that's irreversible.
The real challenge now is managing the risk. We have to accept a nuclear-armed North Korea while working to prevent proliferation and deter a catastrophic conflict.
And that means understanding that Kim is a rational actor. He's not going to commit suicide. He's going to use his arsenal to extract concessions and reshape the balance of power in Northeast Asia.
The book really forces you to see him as a logical outcome of a system built on absolute power, isolation, and victimhood. He's the most successful dictator of his generation.
So what's the one thing you're taking away from all this, Sophie? For me, it's that we have to stop looking for the madman or the reformer. This is a cold, calculating, patient adversary who has already won his most important battle, his own survival.
And that's why the book is such a necessary corrective. It's a strategic warning. We're dealing with a leader who's playing a long game we haven't fully understood yet. And honestly, if you want to go deeper, the whole library's over on 7minutebooks.com/app with over 6,000 fiction and nonfiction titles you can read or listen to in any language. It starts at $2.99 a month, $9.99 a year, or $19.99 once for lifetime access. The Kim Dynasty's greatest achievement isn't the bomb. It's building a system so resilient and terrifying that it might just outlast the international order trying to contain it. And that's the chilling truth we have to live with.